Today I'm in Chippenham with Michael Weeks, and I have some exciting questions for him. The first of which is, when and where did we first meet?
We first met on Exploring Christianity, if I remember rightly, but I can't remember the year. You were the, what's the word I'm looking for? Sort of the minister that would come in and help advise us on the course.
I think I was probably the extra tutor.
Yes.
Because we did that quite nicely, didn't we? You got lots of extra tutors. Was that right? You got different people doing...
Yeah, we had different people, and then, but you sort of come with us for more modules than any of the other ministers, if I remember correctly.
Possibly. Was it the ethics that I did first?
Yes, I think because of your background in...
Sort of science and medical ethics. Mm. But I remember talking about war ethics, and I said, this is a Centauran view of war, and you were the only person who understood exactly what I meant by that.
Yes, I did. Lots of blank faces in the room, except for mine.
Yeah. So... It was St. Peter's Frogwell we were using, wasn't it? It was one of those rooms there.
Yeah, the prayer room at St. Peter's.
Mm. Do you drink tea?
I do. I don't drink as much as I used to. I'm a bit more of a coffee drinker now, but I blame my wife for that one. But I do love a cup of tea.
And what's your favourite sort of tea?
This is going to be a weird one. I've got no specific brand, but it's, I would say, family tea. And when I say family tea, normally when I go and visit... my mum, my dad, my nan, and even sort of my grandparents, now they've been deceased, it's always about going around and putting the kettle on and having a cup of tea and having a chat and a catch-up.
So that kind of, I think family teas are good.
Yeah, a family tea.
A family cup of tea. How do you respond to the statement, Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
I struggle with this one. I don't think it's dying, but I don't think it's sleeping either. I think because of my background with street pastors, I see so many different Christian organisations working in the community. For example, Christians do a huge amount of debt advice, for example, for people. I think, quote me if I'm wrong, but I think we're one of the biggest sort of givers of debt management advice to people. I see street pastors, over 280 schemes up and down the country, even food banks run by Christian people. So I don't think it's sleeping. I think there's a lot of people that go out and do a huge amount of work in the community. I don't think it's dying. But at the same time, you could say, I do go to different congregations to talk about my work, and you do see congregations when there's only very few people there. So I think some churches with a little C, are struggling for numbers, but then you go to some churches where there's 100 people plus turn up on a Sunday morning, so it's a real difficult one.
And that's where the question, why my interest in this came from, because it's a quote from the Daily Telegraph, an article by Tim Stanley, but when I read it, I wasn't sure what I thought about it, because the evidence in the Liberate group is that whilst our Sunday morning and in Killearn our general Sunday attendances are really falling, our weekday attendances are increasing, to the point where our weekday attendances last year were more than our Sunday attendances in one church, and more than our Sunday morning attendances in the other two big parishes. So it's kind of
I think as well, weekends are so important now for families. I know as a family we've really struggled. The boys play rugby on a Sunday morning, so I'm normally the only one going to church, for example. Now it's off season, we go to families of church again, but it's interesting, isn't it?
So, have you been going to Messy Church?
We do.
And is that a Saturday, the one in Chippenham?
Yes.
That you've been going to?
Yeah, Saturday afternoon, so it really works for us as a family. And being able to go and Messy Church in some respects has been a huge saviour for us as a family. To be able to go to church as a family, which is what I really miss when the children aren't around.
So I have three, going on to your three specialist questions now. The first of which is, and I feel I need to say, remember the whole podcast needs to be 20 minutes long.
I was going to say, how long you got?
How has the street pastor movement made a difference to the UK and Chippenham over the past few years?
Oh, that's what I mean. How long have I got? I could say
4 minutes.
4 minutes, okay. I could say so much. Let's start with Chippenham, because that is my specialist area. I've been a street pastor now in Chippenham for 7 years. So I've seen huge decreases in antisocial behaviour, which has been backed up by the local authority and the police. I've seen the attitudes of members of public change towards us because we're going out, stepping out in faith and being honest about our Christianity. While we're not there to go out and evangelise as such, we're evangelising for our actions. But people are getting a lot of how to explain it, but some people seem to think that we've got like two heads and, you know, and this sort of thing, and they realise that we're normal people who just want to go out and care. Our motto is to care, listen and help. That's what we do. And it's interesting the attitudes that have changed. Also, as well as a coordinator, I'm so lucky in Chippenham that I get to be invited to so many meetings where sometimes I do wonder, if we weren't around, would the church be invited to sit in on these meetings, whether it's be something to do with like a Rough Sleep Action Day or Purple Flag, for example. We're a Purple Flag town in Chippenham, which proves that we're a safe place. We're a key partner in that, alongside the police and the local authority. So I know just from a Chippenham point of view, it's made a huge difference. And I think then I've already said, over 280 schemes nationwide, you multiply that in all these towns where there's Christians going out in faith, and it's evolving. It was originally set up to befriend gang members. In Chippenham, for example, we're going to start going out in the daytime on market days as well. So sort of the world's our oyster, and the more we pray about it, there's so much we can do to come alongside people.
So my understanding of the kind of times that street pastors really took off were people who were prepared to go out and basically in the Friday and Saturday evenings when people were out and maybe getting drunk or struggling with groups of friends and those sorts of things, that there would be somebody there who could actually talk to them, give them a pair of flip-flops if they've failed with their shoes. Did you still do that anymore?
That's what we do. Originally, street pastors in London, mm-hmm. They were praying about it, to how to befriend gang members who were using sort of guns and knives and things, and it evolved then into the nighttime economy, which is, as we say, that's our bread and butter work now. Mm-hmm. Coming alongside people that, as you said, need flip-flops, need some sweeties to help get them home, help them with the train, what's the next train home, the next bus home, mm-hmm. where's the taxi rank, or even people that, like you said, they've lost their friends, they need somebody to listen to them, they want help reuniting with their friends. So we do have a lot of stuff that, the police, for example, and the door supervisors on the doors aren't really there for. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we're valued, with that. And sometimes as well with antisocial behaviour, if we can get in quick enough before things really take off, we might be able to keep it calm, so then the police don't have to get involved. Because, for example, the police are really stretched at the moment, Janet. And we just try to do our little bit to help that as well.
Mm. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
With the timing. I'm impressed with street pastors in general as
well. I'm an Ascension Trust rep now as well, so normally I'll get a whole day to talk about our work. So.
The next specialist question was, what sort of church would you like your children to inherit?
Cool. Really thinking about this one. I would love them to have a church that is fun, that is open to change. I think sometimes we don't always do ourselves, or the church in the Big C concept doesn't always help itself sometimes. So I want it to be open. I really want to hear more personal testimony, and this is no disrespect to the word, and I think it's really important that we have that sermon time. I think it's really important that we hear the Bible, but I really want to hear personal testimony where I want them to hear where God has made a difference in somebody's life or what's been going on in that week. And I really want my children to be able to hear that on a weekly basis. So they can be encouraged. And I feel that as well, if they're in a place where they can share their faith in a safe place, such as church, that actually then they might be able to go out into the wider world and be able to share their faith and how God works in their lives as well.
I'm going to ask you a question now. About Advent Angels, were you involved in that?
Yes.
Can you remember how many years ago it was?
Oh my God.
Was it 5 years ago?
I think it must be, let's see, I've been a Christian for 9 years now.
Mm.
Well, 8 to 9 years, because Albie's almost nine.
And were you one of the angels?
I was one of the first angels, and I come to Box.
Did you come to Box?
I come to Box.
But I don't think I was... Was I there?
No, the service was led by a lay minister who I believe has now gone on for ordination.
So, Phil, you came when Phil was there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Because we've stopped doing that, I was talking to one of my friends in Manchester about it on the podcast, and I was saying how good it was for us to do that. And partly because people went to other churches, it seemed a bit easier.
Yeah, because we, in a silly way, I've become a street pastor in Chippenham because of Easter Angels. Because we'd done Advent, and then we'd done the same project at Easter. And so, I went to St Paul's and heard about, funnily enough, I'd been out observing in Bath as a street pastor.
Mm.
And I thought, this is something I really want to do and I feel really led to. And then I was thinking of signing up as a street pastor in Bath, and I heard Mal Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Stand up in Chippenham, sorry, in St Paul's, and basically say, oh, we're setting it up in Chippenham. And it was like one of those moments of, okay, Lord, I get it. You really want me to be a street pastor, but you want me to be in Chippenham.
So the Advent Angels scheme was a scheme by which people went round to different churches,
mm-hmm.
and shared their testimony at a different church, and they were sent round the deanery, essentially.
Yes.
And that worked. It worked really well, I think. We ought to try and find someone who will run that again. It's the admin of that. You need a good administrator to actually run that.
Yeah. But I think that's what I mean. You know, I mean, you were able to go out and share your testimony, and it was so encouraging, and it's a shame that it's not something that we do more often.
What do they like about church at the moment, your kids?
I know, like, messy church with Toby, my youngest child, it's the food. He really looks forward to the food. But at the same time, I think it's an environment with the crafts. It's done at such a level that they can access Christianity. And everything's done at the appropriate level. I think, no disrespect to church, there's so many traditions, and they must sometimes sit there and think, I mean, why are they standing up? Why are they sitting down? And you know what I mean? It's done at that real right level. And I think as a family person as well, it means... The children are busy, which means as adults as well, we get time to have a bit of a natter and things as well.
Mm. The next question is about exploring Christianity. So I didn't teach all of your course, but I taught segments of your course, mm-hmm. along with a different tutor. I wondered, what was the most important thing you learned while studying for exploring Christianity?
Do you know what? I've learnt to... one of the biggest things about exploring Christianity, it really made me, and when I say question things, it started to make me think, how do I explain it, Janet? It really made me want to come across and bring in my own, not ideas, but explore things that, what am I trying to say, Janet?
Yeah, but I think you're trying to say that it tried to teach you the process of theological reflection, but maybe we should have done that using those words.
Yes, there you go. I do remember one of the classic moments, and me and Lynn Godfrey, who was on the course with, every so often refer to. I remember we were sitting down and it was the theology module, and I remember just, we were sat down sort of discussing it back and forth, and in the end I think I said something along the lines, and we've been arguing about this for 1500 years, why can't we just do it? but that's what I learned. It was actually okay to be able, especially in that safe environment with fellow Christians, to be able to talk about things like that and discuss matters, and it helped me grow as a Christian as well. And it's helped me, I think that's the most important thing I've learned, that when people ask me questions, I've got a little bit of background knowledge as well. And when people try to pick holes in my faith. It's given me a little bit of, it's given me a really good grounding to have that discussion with them.
I think it's an interesting course to teach. And I know the person whose job it is to rewrite it and to bring it up to date. So Elizabeth Harper, who I interviewed earlier on in the series, has gone to Wells recently, and her job is to update the course. I mean, her job is just enormous. That's one of the things on her job list. but I think it was actually a really good course. I think there are probably different ways of tackling it now, where we might, Elizabeth might choose to use different types of media and different readings and stuff like that. But it was a quite a challenging course, and it was quite interesting for me to teach on it, especially the ethics. I thought, because some of that I'm quite au fait with, the medical ethics and stuff, but the going back to the just war theory and all those sorts of things, it was really good revision for teaching.
But like I said, the whole war, I remember we went to the Somme last year, and it sort of, when you go and you see all those, you mean the huge cemeteries and all that, and it really made you question what is right, what is wrong. They talk about the nuclear deterrent, and it's really helped me have a viewpoint on it as well. In some respects, it's almost like a course I'd love to revisit, not at the moment, but a little bit further down the line, to see how I am now as a Christian and what more I can bring to it, because I've done it as a very new Christian in some respects. So it does make me wonder sometimes.
And actually, I'm seeing Lynn on Monday, so she will appear later in the podcast series, or earlier if I think her podcast is going to be easier to edit. We'll have to see. but Lynn, of course, has gone on to ordination.
And yes,
she has actually done 3 years curacy now.
It must be 3 years.
So yes, so that's going to, Lynn is going to appear as well.
I have to look forward to hearing Lynn's.
The last question, which is the question which most people struggle with, or the one which of the ones people struggle with most, is what is your favourite thing that begins with T?
Well, I have two. I must admit, it's got to be Toby, my youngest. That's no bias to Albie, but his name begins with T. He fills me with so much joy in my life, as does Albie. But if you take away, so I'm not sort of, looks like I'm choosing one son over the other, it has to be tanks.
Oh, I'd forgotten you were a big fan of tanks. How could I forget that?
Yes, a big fan of anything big and green and everything else. And same again, that's a family thing. It was my great-grandfather was a tank driver in the Second World War. So I spent a lot of time with my great-grandfather growing up, hearing war stories and things. And so, yeah, if anything to begin with tea, it's got to be tanks, I'm afraid.
Got to be tanks.
It's our annual pilgrimage to Tankfest as a family, where the wife, Gaynor, sort of stays with the bags and falls asleep, and it's my job to take the boys around all the exhibits and things. So.
Okay. Well, is that at the Wallops? No, where is
it? No, it's down at Bovington, down in Dorset.
At Bovington.
It's almost like a second home to us, the Tank Museum, for, wonder why, tanks. But do you know, it's one of the weekends of the, because I do so much, you know, Janet, I do so much volunteering. And there's two weekends in a year where, I just try and say, I'm not doing it. I don't care what's on. I'm not doing volunteering. And it's Tank Fest weekend, so I'm missing the school fete. And we also go to REAT, the International Air Tattoo at Fairford in July. And that's the same weekend as the carnival. And you get contacted going, Michael, can you bring your street pastors to the carnival? And I'm like, well, if I can get somebody else to run it, yes, because I'm sorry, but that weekend's a family weekend. I'm very sort of stringent about those things.
That's good. So thank you very much for seeing me today, Michael.
No worries, Janet. Not a problem. It's always lovely to see you.
It's been lovely to see you.